It's the 24-hour talk show presented by Tobin Hummer on ESPN Radio 920. All proceeds benefit the Caring Place, helping those in Southern Nevada touched by cancer. To donate, call the Wells Fargo Phone Bank at 944-3235. That's 944-3235. Or stop by the lounge in the Palms and bring your donation. For more information on the Caring Place, visit thecaringplacenv.org. Now to the Palms and the 24-hour talk show on ESPN Radio 920. Here's your noon host, Colin Cowherd.
All right, back for hour number two. I want to thank the guys from HGH Infusion for being generous in hour number one. I just tried, by the way, HGH Infusion. I just sprayed it under my tongue, and I will report the findings. Like I said, if I start bench pressing all these beautiful women in the next 30 minutes, buy the product, folks. Tony Macklin now bought the second hour, and I'm doing back-to-back hours. And Spencer Tillman's on later today, who I met at the Super Bowl, is a wonderful guy. JT and the Brick is on at some point in the next few hours. I don't know JT, but I know he works at Fox, which is the archenemy of my company, but I can say that now that it's for the Caring Place. And this all begins and ends today with this phone number, 944-3235, 944-3235. That's the Wells Fargo phone bank. The Caring Place is free library information, yoga for anybody that has dealt with cancer. Al Bernstein's wife, Connie, is chairman of the board. Al's on the board as well. And joining me for this hour, he bought the hour, Tony Macklin, who's a film critic from Philadelphia, Villanova grad. I love their basketball coach, Jay Wright, who eventually wants to talk about booing Santa. But you bought this hour because I am critical of film critics.
No, who, first of all, I bought it for Al. I mean, the Caring Place is even more important than you are.
Really? Well,
second reason.
I'm very critical of film critics because here's my problem with film critics is that they write for other film critics. Instead of reviewing a film for me, the consumer, they review it for the other film critics. And, like, they'll talk about a comedy. And if I'm reviewing a comedy, does it make you laugh? If it does, it's a good comedy.
Have you read any of my reviews?
I have never read
your
reviews.
Then I'm not sure I write for other film critics. I write for myself.
Do you think some do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you think my criticism's legit?
I think it's valid to a point, but it's... by the way, how's Amanda?
Amanda's great. She didn't book this show.
Because Al told me I had to behave myself, I was thinking of asking you a question about, is Stephen A. Smith as big a jerk as he seems? But I thought I'd go with the Amanda question instead.
You know, the funniest thing about all, people always ask me about the ESPN personalities. And as a, it's almost an absolute rule. The people you think are obnoxious are always the nicest. And the people you think are the nicest are the sneakiest and the worst. It's the golden rule with television personalities.
You mean Stephen A. is not repulsive?
No. Stephen A. is, I have had a couple of great conversations. He has a sleep deprivation issue. Has had it for years, 20 years. Can't sleep. And I have sleep issues. And I went to New York City. He could not have been more kind. Gave me great information, gave me doctor's numbers. And when you get him off the air away from the shtick, he's actually a very likable guy. It's a shtick.
Well, then could I suggest getting him away from the air more often?
Well, a lot of people like him. He is very polarizing.
Name three.
Well, I will say this, is when I bring him on my show, I get tons of emails, negative, positive. And really? We always say on our show, we don't care what you say in the email, but if you're emailing... the volume's high. It's working. There used to be a guy that worked at ESPN named Trev Alberts, the college football guy.
Sure.
And as popular as Herb Street is, and Kirk's my buddy, Alberts would come on and get 600 emails in 5 minutes. 70% hated him, but nobody ever stopped listening. So we loved Trev Alberts because the volume of email went through the roof. And in radio, it's about the volume. Are people responding? And Stephen A. is a guy. Stuart Scott's got a little bit of this. Vital's got some of it. They're
you mean the Vital, the Larry King of ESPN?
Yes, he's been there forever. But people react to Dick. He drives them crazy or he makes them laugh, but he is, and that's sort of our business. So anyway, go back to your...
Well, I want... We raised the point about the ESPN guys, and I don't want to do too much on them, but you can say they're like film critics, that I would believe Herb Street. If he talks about football,
yes,
I believe about it.
Yes.
So if he talked about film and he knew his stuff, I would believe him.
Yeah.
I might not put as much store in Corso's view of
who's
a,
more
of a
shit
movie.
Guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So a critic named Dwight McDonald said reviewers write for what the audience thinks and critics write what they think. And I abide by that. Also, I wanted to say that in your life, I assume at Longwood and maybe in high school, you had some really good teachers. Is that right?
We all did, yes.
And I think a critic is like a teacher. The best critic will instruct you, open up things, transport you so that you go to places that you wouldn't go otherwise, because they're not just doing rote stuff. They're doing their own appreciation.
Interpretation.
Yes.
So a good critic can take me places and open my eyes to things that I might not have previously
Absolutely.
Seen.
I learned from other critics.
What critics do you like?
I really like David Elliott, who writes for the San Diego Union Tribune.
Why do you like him?
Because he's literate, he's intelligent, he's sensitive. I mean, he's basically a human being.
Yeah.
And so he applies that, his personality and his nature to movies. I'll disagree with him. I didn't like Open Range, and he loved Open Range, the Western.
Sure.
But on most things, I trust him. And even if I think he's wrong, I know that 75% of the time, I'll agree with him. And if you're agreeing more than 75%, there's probably something wrong with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, I always said this about it, funny about film critics. I mean, the first two to really make an impact in the country, just because of TV, was Siskel and Ebert,
right?
Who are both highly acclaimed guys, both well schooled, and you know, Ebert's done some really great books on films.
Exactly.
The funny thing about it's such a subjective field. I'll never forget that before he passed away, Gene Siskel didn't like Silence of the Lambs. And Roger Ebert came out and said, you're absurd. It's one of the greatest thrillers of all time. And he said, well, I don't like the serial killer. He seems too glib. He seems too so-and-so goofy. And I remember watching that show and thinking, Siskel's out of his mind. But again, movies are like music. I never got into the Beach Boys, but a lot of people think Pet Sounds is one of the greatest albums ever.
Right.
I think they're car commercial music. I love U2. I love Clapton.
Well, you're pretty safe with those two.
Well, but I hold them in just. I like Sheryl Crow because as a songwriter, sometimes she's too happy. I like it kind of angst.
Even when she talked to Rove or tried to talk to Rove.
I like angst. I think angst creates great critics, great musicians, great comedians. Because the truth of the matter is, think about this. Oh, I'm almost going to sound literate here to a smart old guy like you, Tony.
I'm sorry.
Okay, think about this, is that Italy had dictators at times, and from that came great food, the Renaissance, came amazing arts and literature. Switzerland's never been to a war, and they gave us fondue.
And the cuckoo clock.
So the more oppressed you are, you often give us better art, literature, and food.
You know, no, that was almost word for word from Third Man. Have you ever seen Third Man?
No.
There's a speech that Orson Welles delivers comparing the Italy and the corruption and the great art that came from it and the cuckoo clock that came from...
Well, Canada. Canada's never been to a war. Name a single food that you would... Does anybody ever say, hey, let's go out and eat Canadian tonight? Nobody ever says that. You go out and eat Italian or Chinese. China, oppression, great food. Taiwan, some oppression. Italian, great.
What do you make of American food, then?
American food is much like America. It is a melting pot. We are receptive to any food which we can sell in mass to produce revenue. Any food that we can bring in, turn it around, commercialize it, and sell it so we can make money, we'll embrace.
You know, you've almost been a food critic here.
Why is that?
Because you gave your opinion, you backed it up, it was valid, and you could apply that to movies.
All right. Ask me about a movie, and I'll make you a deal. I'll ask you about sports, and you'll give me a 60-second opinion. You ask me about a movie, and I'll give you a 60-second opinion. You ask me about a movie.
About a movie. Talladega Nights.
NASCAR's not my thing. Over the top, some very funny lines. I'm not sure, beginning to end, it worked for me. Great comedies get funnier at 45 minutes on. sometimes Talladega Nights felt like they had a few jokes and it petered out. Not quite my thing.
But the great thing about that, in any other film, there couldn't have been a male kiss for that long. And the red states still sit in their seats. I mean, it was a subterranean film. It was it did some things
you couldn't that, normally do.
Yes. And I respected it for that reason.
Okay, I'll ask you about sports.
Okay.
Why has football surpassed baseball in popularity in this country?
I have no idea.
Very good. You just sounded like every talk show host besides me at ESPN. I've got an opinion on that every day. Nobody else does. It has, though, you know.
Yes.
Are you a football or baseball fan?
I am a basketball fan, college basketball. I grew up in the Palestra, seeing all the Big Five, and wrote a novel about it.
Philadelphia is a great college basketball town.
Wonderful college basketball town. I saw.
Let's do this film game. I like this film game.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Ask me about a nerd film. Okay. You ask me about films, I'll review them, and then you review my review.
Okay. Million Dollar Baby.
I thought it was great, poignant. I found myself good versus evil. There was somebody to root for, somebody to root against. The family was awful. Clint Eastwood's become an amazing filmmaker. I thought it was as close to a, if five is the most stars, I thought it was 4.5. I thought it was, and again, great movies get better at the 45-minute mark. Bad movies have a quick story and peter out.
Well,
it just got better.
I would come from another. I have seen so many films this summer that the first 45 or an hour and 45 minutes were great. Transformers, Be Free or Die Hard.
Yes.
And in the last half hour, the CGI, the action, the violence took over and blew away the character, blew away in a sense what they had established and what I was praying that they would finish. I have a film for you to see.
Wait, did you like Million Dollar Baby?
I loved it.
Yes.
I was lucky enough to interview Clint for an hour and 45 minutes. And interview Morgan Freeman, and interview Hilary Swank, and all three of them won Oscars for that film.
Morgan Freeman is, I'm trying to think of my favorite actors in the country. Ed Norton's very good.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman's phenomenal. Leonardo DiCaprio, I thought in the movie Departed, was by far and away the best actor in that movie. Mm-hmm. In a star-studded cast. I'll ask you about that movie next because I have a little inside information on that movie that I'm going to give you as a critic.
Okay.
You're going to like what I'm going to give you.
All right.
I'm going to tell you what actors thought of that movie that were in it. Because I had Donnie Wahlberg on my show last week. Mark Wahlberg.
But you got to.
Didn't like
they,
it.
They may have lied to you. I hate to tell you, don't be skeptical. See, a critic is skeptical. Just because somebody in your face says something, and his name is Michael Vick, you don't believe it necessarily.
Okay. I'm going to be back with Tony Macklin. Don't forget the phone number, 944-3235, 944-3235. It's the Wells Fargo phone bank. Every donation is tax deductible. We're doing this for the Caring Place, Southern Nevada's own Caring Place. We'll be back in a second. It's The Herd, live at the Palm. Stop by off to your right behind the lounge on ESPN Radio.
The 24-hour talk show to benefit the Caring Place. Presented by Tobin Hummer on ESPN Radio 920. For donations, call the Wells Fargo phone bank at 944-3235. 944-3235. It's the 24-hour talk show. Presented by Tobin Hummer on ESPN Radio 920. All proceeds benefit the Caring Place, helping those in Southern Nevada touched by cancer. To donate, call the Wells Fargo phone bank at 944-3235. That's 944-3235. Or stop by the lounge in the Palms and bring your donation. For more information on the Caring Place, visit thecaringplacenv.org. Now, back to the Palms and the 24-hour talk show on ESPN Radio 920. The Sports Leader.
Welcome back. It's Colin Cowherd at the Palms. Come through the doors behind the lounge or bar to your right. I'm here hanging out with Tony Macklin. By the way, Tobin Hummer is the title sponsor of this entire event. Tobin Hummer has been gracious to be the title sponsor. I want to thank them. Tony Macklin bought this hour. Film critic, Philly fan, Villanova grad. Villanova's a good school. It is in Philadelphia. Is it a private school?
Yes, it is. It's a Catholic school.
You have to be reasonably bright to get in there, Tony.
And Brian Westbrook went there.
And has been a great player.
And Howie Long went there. In their last year of Division I football, Howie Long
smartest guy on that Fox show.
At Villanova. So. And I thought Mike Ciani on that team would be more successful than Long. And, of course, we can see what Long has done.
Howie's done very well.
Yes.
Howie's done very well. Okay, we were playing the game, you being a film critic, where you would give me a film, I'll tell what I think, then you review my review of the film. So give me another.
Well, you were on Eastwood. Let's do the last two. Did you see either Flags of Our Father or Letters from Iwo Jima?
I did not see Letters from Iwo Jima, but that's of the two, that's the one I want to watch.
Yeah. Now, I would suggest that I thought it was terrific. Wonderful film.
There is some sentiment that why would I want to watch? I've heard people say, why would I want to watch from their perspective, which I think is ridiculous because I think to see the opponent, is it just a different...
It's the human perspective. And It's Clint Eastwood, for God's sake. I mean,
Letters from Iwo Jima, most critics had it top five last year
movies. I did too. I think what's wonderful about Eastwood, I mean, he's 77 years old. And... He didn't just coast at the end of his career. He made three films, his last three films, that are great movies and will enhance his reputation. And I mean, I just stand in awe of the man.
No, and you know what's funny? There are certain people in Hollywood that evolve. Smart people generally do over time. Eastwood could have easily become an action hero guy after his tough guy persona. He could have easily sort of transformed himself into that. It would have been a natural fit. He was a tough guy. Instead, he went intellectual, got off the camera and more behind the scenes, and really, you can argue he's as good a director as he was actor, and he was a heck of an impact actor.
He's a better director. He's got more range.
He was certainly an easily identifiable tough guy. He had several great classic lines. And you're always judged in a public forum on highs and lows. And he has four or five of the most make my day. I mean, classic American cinema
lines. I tried to get this interview for years and years and years. And I had interviewed John Wayne at one point. And Wayne wrote me, thanks, Tony, you caught me in print as nobody ever has. It's Duke. So I called Eastwood's people and said that to Eastwood's people. And the guy said, Mr. Eastwood hates John Wayne. So, because they're from different generations. They're different eras. They're different qualities. And they collided.
Yeah. Well, John Wayne was sort of a very arch conservative. Eastwood, the other side, has...
But they both had power in their persona, in their film persona.
But they were different cats. Completely different.
Very different cats.
Yeah, very different guys.
I wanted to ask you, since we're playing this quote game... Tell me two or three of your favorite films and why, and I'll judge that.
Shawshank Redemption for the
everybody your generation and every student I had, that was on the top of his list. That is just a film that I, as a critic, could recommend to anyone, any viewer.
Love the writing, love the acting. I think it metaphorically tells a story of being wronged. You really feel for the banker, his struggle and his decency, and the fact that he escapes, which you're not supposed to do, but you find yourself rooting for him like you've never rooted for a character. And I also thought it showed that people in prison, there are decent people. And they may have been wrong, but people do evolve and change. Not everybody in a prison is a gutter ball. And I thought it showed a real human side to... a lot of people that we look at as inhumane.
That's the quality that I look for most in a film, whether it is human, whether it is a human experience created out of the human condition. And by the way, you just were a reviewer and gave it a very valid, very, very fine review.
Okay, my second movie, and I'm a little bit of a wacko, I think the greatest thriller ever was Silence of the Lambs. Again, I think it was chilling. I think great character development. I mean, even Bernie, the prison guard down below, I felt like I knew him. The body language, the facial expressions. It's the only movie I've ever seen where I'm not sure there's a single wasted scene. If you go back and deconstruct Silence of the Lambs, I'm not sure there's a scene you could take out. Every scene was efficient and necessary, and I've watched it probably 30 times.
Well, I'm not sure it's necessary, because art is choice, but every scene, every moment works. And by the way, what it came from was a great novel.
By Did you ever read
Thomas Harris.
Thomas Harris, excuse me.
And it's really well written.
Yes.
It's really a fine novel.
Yes, read the novel.
And by the way, I might as well interject this. See whether you can trust me, because one of the best films I've seen this year comes out next week, and this is the one I'm recommending to you, okay?
Okay.
This is where my reputation at least continues or is defunct. The Bourne Ultimatum. Jason Bourne is so cool. I saw it yesterday, and it is a terrific motion picture.
Well, it's been a good series, The Bourne Identity.
But you don't expect the third one to be as good or better than the first. And what, I mean, it is human characters. And Brian Cox was a villain, and he's no longer. What they have done, they always get good actors. This time, David Strathairn, who played Edward R. Murrow the last time out, now he's the villain. And Joan Allen is back. Julia Stiles is back. And Jason Bourne, he makes a motorcycle dance. He crashes through windows. He drives a car off a roof. He plummets 10 stories. And yet it works.
Tony Macklin's a film reviewer. He bought the hour to be with me, Colin Coward. This is ESPN Radio 920 in Las Vegas. The phone number to donate, 944-3235, the Wells Fargo phone bank, 944-3235 for The Caring Place. That's why I'm in town for 4 days. Al Bernstein and his lovely wife, Connie, are a big part of this. It is a place for people who have been touched by cancer. The Caring Place, Tony, you know about it because you know Al Bernstein. It has so positively affected so many lives. This was a no-brainer for me to get out here and help Al. Guys, if you can help, gals, 944-3235. Tony's a film critic, so we're going off the beaten path today. Can I tell you another movie I absolutely loved?
Sure.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, really? See, I liked a lot of it. I thought it was a very uneven film. When she does that shtick dance, I thought that's appealing to your... That's easy, and it kind of made me cringe.
I think Greg Kinnear's become a really good actor.
Oh, he's a great actor. He's an underrated actor.
Absolutely.
He was wonderful in the with Jack Nicholson in
the movie he gets beat up.
Yeah,
he plays the gay.
As good as it gets. As good as it
gets. As good as it gets. Yeah. I was thinking A Few Good Men is the military film. As good as it gets. So, Little Miss Sunshine does not count as Shawshank Redemption is my favorite movie of all time. Silence of the Lambs is my second favorite movie. That was a recent one that jumped out at me. A movie I thought that touched me emotionally, again, I love great writing, was Platoon.
Yes.
I think the score was brilliant. I mean, I thought the insertion of music at the right times, that was my sister's era more than me. I don't know anybody that went to Vietnam, but I thought there were moments in that film. Charlie Sheen had a great line, "Why is it the people fighting for our country are the people that nobody cares about?"
Right.
And once the draft left, socioeconomically, that's sort of been true.
It was a tremendously personal film for Oliver Stone, and that's why it worked so well, because he invested everything he believed in, everything about his spirit, his experience, his beliefs, his values was in that film.
Underrated movie, Dead Calm with Billy Zane and Nicole Kidman.
Very good, very good. Now let me ask you another question. What films do you dislike that most people like or think are overrated?
I don't like action movies. I don't like big action flicks, the Mission Impossibles. I think it's bing, bang, boom.
Am I in trouble with Bourne Ultimatum then?
No, you're
okay.
Not. I thought Ocean's 11, what was the first one?
11.
I don't think it's brilliant. I think it's incredibly watchable.
Yeah.
I don't think it's brilliant movie making, but you sit there an hour and a half later and think that was about 2 hours of the most fun a guy can have going out with another guy watching a movie.
Well, I think that's so key to what a good reviewer does. He says, does it do what it sets out to do? Does it, if it wants to entertain a mass audience and be a lark, is it a good lark?
944-3235, that is the Wells Fargo phone bank. All donations tax deductible. We're at the Palms Casino as we talk movies. The Caring Place has been an unbelievably important part of Al Bernstein's life. It is why I am out here. My best friend Glenn's wife passed away of cancer 2 years ago, so it's very sentimental and poignant to me. 4 to 5 American families will have somebody in their life ravaged by cancer. There is a silent auction here. If you come to the Palms, off to the right behind the bar, you can watch the shows throughout the course of the day. Spencer Tillman will be here later. JT and the Brick will be here later. Al did his show with Emmanuel Stewart. I'm with Tony Macklin, who is a film critic, who, I'm going to be honest with you, has been wildly impressed with my film knowledge. Right?
I never use the word wild. I don't use the word wildly. Somewhat, just barely.
Well, you came in with such low expectations.
And you're taller than I thought you were.
Yes. You came in here thinking I was a short, dopey film egghead, and I've really blown you away.
No, loudmouth.
Well, I am kind of a loudmouth. All right, we'll talk a little Philly sports.
Oh, yeah.
Can I take a break? I got 2 minutes to take a break. Is that okay? All right.
Let's talk about Utley.
First of all, what's the best movie you've ever seen?
Well, see.
And don't give me one of these 1930 silent films. I'll throw you right off the set.
I knew you were going to do that. So, Citizen Kane is the one that. I know, but it's the one that's impacted me the most.
Well,
affected me the most.
America didn't exist until 1980. So let's go that. 80 to here.
80 to here. Well, can I go back to Godfather 2?
Godfather 2?
Absolutely. More than one. Because in one, Francis Ford Coppola was doing what he had to do for the industry. In the second, in two, he was doing what he felt. I had a friend who went to a screening with Coppola, and Coppola's saying, slow down, slow down, slow down. He wanted it slow and indelible and impressive. And I think when Michael is sitting on that bench with the dead leaves blowing by him at the end of the film is one of the best, one of the most evocative images in film history.
What's your favorite line from a movie?
Oh my goodness,
I'll give you mine.
You
get busy living or get busy dying. Shawshank Redemption.
Oh yeah, sure.
Get busy. I just went through a divorce, and the day I decided on it, my wife and I decided on it, former wife, that was the line I went back to in my life, is I got to get busy living or get busy dying. We weren't evolving. We deeply cared for each other. That line is, to me, the two lines in life I always remember are get busy living and get busy dying, and I remember this line. Bon Jovi spoke at the Rutgers graduation 10 years ago.
Right.
Outline your life in pencil, not pen. Because you never know what's around the corner.
It's a great line.
It's a great line. It's a great line for people, young people. Don't get caught up in fences and guidelines and restrictions. Think humanity. Think big. Okay, come on. Give me one movie line. And nothing from the Encino Man.
Oh, my God. I'm not a line man.
No Pauly Shore movies.
Give me a line. Somebody give me a line.
Okay.
He's killing me up here.
Well, I'll go take a break. This is pressure, pal. You bought the hour. This is pressure. You're making me do films. I'm making you do sports talk radio.
Okay, my favorite line comes from the Tom Cruise film Risky Business, but I can't say it on the air.
Oh, is that the one where
sometimes you got to say,
yeah, okay.
What the heck?
Yes.
Right?
That's poignant.
That's a good line.
For a guy who likes silent movies,
I love silent movies.
All right, back in a second. Thanks again to Tobin Hummer, our title sponsor today. Live at the Palms, it's The Herd on ESPN Radio.
The 24-hour talk show to benefit the Caring Place. Presented by Tobin Hummer on ESPN Radio 920. For donations, call the Wells Fargo phone bank at 944-3235. 944-3235. It's the 24-hour talk show. Presented by Tobin Hummer on ESPN Radio 920. All proceeds benefit the Caring Place, helping those in Southern Nevada touched by cancer. To donate, call the Wells Fargo phone bank at 944-3235. That's 944-3235. Or stop by the lounge in the Palms and bring your donation. For more information on the Caring Place, visit thecaringplacenv.org. Now, back to the Palms and the 24-hour talk show on ESPN Radio 920. The sports leader.
Welcome back. I'm Colin Coward. Tony Macklin joining me, film critic. And we are talking movies and sports. He's a Philadelphia guy. It should be noted that on my show, Vince, my lead producer, with Amanda, are both from the Northeast. Fish, who runs my board, is a Villanova grad. So I have two of my producers are from Philadelphia schooled. My fill-in is John Kincaid when I'm sick. He's from Philadelphia. And Amanda is a Penn State grad. So my entire staff, fortunately or unfortunately, is from Philadelphia.
See, Penn State is up in the woods somewhere, so that's not really Philly.
It's an otter farm with a football team. I don't even know what it is. But you wanted to talk Philly sports, and I think Donovan McNabb, Philadelphia fans have always been brutal to even their best players. They're overly critical, and I can't believe how brutal they are to Mike Schmidt, or were, and how they don't get Donovan McNabb. What people have never understood about Donovan McNabb, about the NFL, if you look at the NFL quarterbacks, if I said to you, name the top five NFL quarterbacks, most of us would say this, in no particular order, Manning, Brady,
Bulger,
McNabb, Drew Brees, right. Matt Hasselbeck.
Right. Well, Hasselbeck, we'll see when he comes back this year.
But what are all of those are what? Good decision makers.
Sure.
Quarterbacks become a judgment position. Michael Vick's a great athlete. It's a terrible judgment, as we know, off the field and on. The reason Donovan McNabb is a good quarterback, yes, he's inconsistent. His throws, his motion, yes, his weight has fluctuated. From the Rush Limbaugh flap to the T.O. debacle, he's been a good judgment guy. He makes good decisions in crisis.
Well, the problem with McNabb, one of the problems is they told him to stop running. And so that judgment, he's saying, I shouldn't run.
When he's actually a very nimble runner.
Right. Way above average. In college, he was a runner, and when he started with the Eagles.
Now, in the NFL,
Eagles,
you can't.
You know, I say it, I-G-G-L-E,
Eagles. Yes,
Eagles.
Well, the reality in the NFL, you can't run. Long term, you can't. Right. In fact, some have argued that Michael Vick will get better as he gets older, because he'll become more patient, because he'll get beat up. And the older you get in the NFL, you realize, I can't run anymore. I have to sit in the pocket. Until Vic realizes that, he'll still run before he throws.
And this year, we'll see. Brown is in his third year, Reggie Brown. And Kevin Curtis, who's a long ball threat, may be able to do something.
So
he has more receivers.
I picked him to win the division last year. Did you know that?
Yes.
I went on the air, and we nailed the NFC East. I didn't think it was the best division, but I said the Eagles will win it. Cowboys second, Giants third, Redskins last. I laid it out. And I was thinking about this flying out, Tony. The Redskins I still think are last. I think the Giants are next to last. I'm going to give the Eagles the division again, because I'm going to give it to them again for another reason. People do not understand how big of a loss Bill Parcells is.
I was just going to say, and Andy Reid is underrated.
Oh, he's the most underrated coach in the league. Most underrated coach in the league. And my theory has always been, I want to know your owner, your GM, your coach, and your quarterback. If McNabb is healthy, the Eagles, once again in that division, have the best combination of owner, GM, coach, quarterback.
This segues into something that the second thing I wanted to talk about film, because I knew you were an anti-movie critic.
You were on the air.
I mean, I've heard you. So, but the second thing, I heard it again the other day. Tony Gwynn was doing color for San Diego Padres. And they booed, in Philadelphia, they booed Santa Claus. Well, let me clarify things. Nobody knows what happened, or very few people know what happened.
Wasn't a universal boo. It,
no, that's not the thing. We don't boo Santa Claus. He didn't show up. He got snowbound. We love Santa Claus in Philadelphia. He got snowbound in Wildwood. So they saw this 19-year-old kid with a fake beard who was drunk in a Santa Claus suit, and they ran him out among the cheerleaders. So Philly fans booed the imposter. They didn't boo Santa Claus. We would never boo Santa Claus in Philadelphia.
Well, but Philadelphia fans are, I would say, gruffer and less likable than your typical Houston, Dallas, Seattle.
Well, there is a reason, you know, about the 10,000 plateau, with the badge of 10,000
yes.
losses, that we, the badge of dishonor that we wear.
Well, I have a theory on the more industry factory jobs, the angrier the fans. My theory is Philadelphia has been a blue-collar town. Blue-collar work is harder. It's longer hours. It's less pay. It's more physically taxing. People go to events, and that entertainment dollar you pay, you better entertain me.
I would go to an Eagles game, and there would be like a wave of green approaching the stadium with their beer and so forth. Did you like Invincible or not?
Not an epic, but I thought watchable. I thought it was, again, it told the story. I thought it was a very true reflection of kind of Philly sports guys.
And Wahlberg was perfect.
I thought he was great for it.
The thing that bothered me is Vince Papale actually ran into the blocker on about the 10-yard line, picked up the ball, and went in about 10 yards into the end zone.
In the movie,
running through the heather like 112 yards.
Well, you're a film
for
critic.
A touchdown.
That's Hollywood.
No, that's awful. That's something that you – and ironically, at the end of the movie, they showed the real –
play.
Yeah, the real play.
He was a player. He played for about 3 years of note. He was a good special team. And he was a handsome guy that the women loved of Philadelphia. Yeah, everybody's right. Mom thought Vince was the hot stuff. Right. The phone number is 944-3235, 944-3235, The Caring Place. All donations tax deductible. Please, folks, make a difference. The Caring Place is ours in Southern Nevada. For those who are affected by cancer, free programs, library, helps children, yoga classes. It's educational. Al Bernstein asked me to come out here. Connie, his wife, and Al are on the board. Tony knows that very well. If you've been touched by cancer, the Caring Place is an incredibly meaningful place, and it certainly matters to me and the people here. 944-3235, Wells Fargo Phone Bank.
The other thing is, you say the Philly fans are grumpy, and look at this year's team. At the beginning of the year, if you had told me that Antonio Alfonseca and Jose Mesa were on a team, I'd say, oh, those poor Royals, those poor Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
They are pitchers for Philadelphia, and they both blew leads the last two games. They're terrible. And we have to sit in the sands listening to what a great general manager Pat Gillick is. And Alfonseca? Mesa?
You have good position players.
Yes, we have great position players.
But you can't win.
Except one of them, Utley, is now on the disabled list with a broken hand. He was first in four categories. He was first in batting average, first in hits, first in on-base percentage, first in doubles, third in home runs, second in RBIs. So the fates have spoken, and it's not good.
Well, you know what? Philadelphia is a football town anyway. If they won in baseball, it would not help the sport. When they win in football, the NFL is better. When they win in baseball, you know, these days if the Yanks or Red Sox don't win, the ratings go down. Baseball's become too dependent on two teams. And I love both teams. I love the Red Sox and the Yankees. Love the rivalry. Why football is king in this country is, despite your market size, you can win the Super Bowl. Look at the NBA. Look at the NFL. If you're not in L.A., Chicago, New York, or one of these premier baseball teams, you can't afford the players. Pittsburgh hasn't been to one playoff in 25 years. Kansas City hasn't been in 20 years. The Midwest has to a large degree, been kind of economically pushed aside. Baseball, for a variety of reasons, has lost me big picture. I still like the World Series. I like certain matchups. I like talking about it. But Philadelphia is a great example. They haven't financially been able to compete for several years, and they become less of a franchise. They do have these great young players, but if Ryan Howard's fantastic in 4 years, don't you think the Red Sox or Yankees go and buy him?
I really don't. I'm not sure it's money as much as it's. I don't want to say stupidity. Well, I'll say stupidity. I mean, Wade was not a good general manager.
Well, it's money plus competency. When you're the Red Sox and Yankees, you can make more mistakes.
Right.
When you're the Pirates, you can make none. When you're the Phillies, you can make a couple but not many. You don't like Gillick?
I liked him when he was with Toronto, but in Philadelphia.
He was great in Seattle.
But in Philadelphia, he's given us Alfonseca, Freddie Garcia, Jose Mesa.
What was wrong with Freddie Garcia? He's okay. He's not good with
damaged goods.
Well, how much you pay for him?
I don't know. That I don't know.
It's just like a movie rental.
Four,
I'll pay 99
4 million,
cents
maybe?
For Encino,
four
man.
Million?
Don't make me pay $4.99.
Okay. Let's go back to the movies. Your favorite movie of sports movies?
Miracle. Don't even like hockey. Miracle I thought was great. Field of Dreams. It will always have a place because it was a great baseball movie. Best ever, Million Dollar Babies, number one.
Really?
Oh, it's just fair. I mean, come on. That's a real
movie. My number one is Hoosiers.
Million Dollar Babies 1, Hoosiers 2, Miracle 3. And Miracle's not a great movie. It's not going to – but you know why I loved it? Used real hockey players. It was incredible. Have you seen it?
Oh, sure.
Incredibly realistic. But almost every movie, you know, Invincible, prime example. There's at one point you go, this guy's not an athlete. Miracle – was real hockey with real players.
But you have to understand that many of the Philadelphia teams have non-athletes on them.
Yeah, that's a very, very, very good point. Best sports movie to you is Hoosiers all time?
Hoosiers. And I have a soft spot for Bang the Drum Slowly.
I've never seen it.
Oh, no. It's De Niro.
What about Raging Bull?
De Niro. Oh, I like The Raging Bull. I'm not sure it's my favorite boxing movie. This was a TV movie with a TV show with Paul Newman playing the Tom Seaver-like character. And there's a guy who has a fatal disease that was played by Albert Salmi. And in I think it's his first major role, one of his first major roles, De Niro plays the catcher. And Michael Moriarty is the pitcher. How about North Dallas 40?
A classic movie. Yeah. For its time, judge movies how they were in their time. It's not fair to go back and say, well, that doesn't compare. In its time, fantastic.
Well, two ways. You can have a limited context and say during its time, and you can have that context that says...
All-time great.
Yes.
Real pleasure.
Mine too.
You didn't even like me an hour ago, and look at you now.
Well,
it's like we're in-laws.
I've got to think about it.
I want to thank everybody for joining us, 944-3235. Thank Al Bernstein for allowing me to have two great hours of fun. This was the easiest 2 hours of radio I've ever done. I don't think I talked any sports, which made it even better. Coming up next on the 24-hour talk show, live at the Palms, presented by Tobin Hummer, Hanson and Koken. My two guys are going to show up next. See if you can top these hours. Or don't even come here. I mean, if you're not willing to play at this level, just stay there. All right, guys. Nice job, everybody. Thanks, everybody who showed up. Thanks again, Tony. It's The Herd on ESPN Radio.